part of what's causing people confusion. They're like, I don't understand. Both sides are saying Allahu Akbar. It's not considered to be a war on between two armies. It's considered to be a war on the Sunni.
On the civilian.
He was initially a warlord who got promoted to be a general. And he said, why not me? Why you?
How do you say Allahu Akbar? Allah, the creator, is the greatest. That means that you're supposed to be living according to Islam, but what you're telling me here, you have innocent people's lives who are being taken.
When you're talking about millions of people facing famine and acute hunger.
Is there any end in sight? What's the situation right now?
I don't want Sudan to be a military dictatorship anymore. That experiment of 30 years was a huge failure.
How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. How are you doing, Sheikh?
How you been?
Alhamdulillah. Great.
How's everything?
Great, alhamdulillah. Good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
We got a gym session in the morning today.
It's a good workout, huh?
Alhamdulillah.
We're going over
trying
some...
Trying to stay limber.
We were talking about food, nutrition, staying away from sugar.
Yeah.
I like you... I can see, like, when somebody's taking stuff in, you can see, like, you kind of read them where some people are just, like, you know, rolling their eyes or just, like, you know, not really. But you were really into it.
Yeah, you can tell, you know, I'm sure you've had thousands of conversations, but you can tell when a person is responding, if they're asking interesting questions based on what you said, right? They're not just waiting for their turn to talk. So alhamdulillah, it was a great, you know, we were with Muhammad Hoop Finesse, a basketball player, pro basketball player. He was giving us some, at least he was giving me some advice, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, so alhamdulillah. Maybe you can bring us up to speed. I mean, you're from Sudan, right?
Yeah.
And many people are just totally unaware what is going on over there. There's a war currently happening. You had the ousting of one president.
Yeah.
And now the two, his what, his security forces?
Two generals, yeah.
Fill us in.
Yeah, so Sudan had a popular overthrow of a government who was in position of power for 30 years. And, you know, the people protested. The president was forced to step down of 30 years, and then it went through a civilian transitional government for a year, year and a half, and then a general did a coup over it for the purpose of preserving the revolution. And then there's a power vacuum. So one general takes over, but then at the same time in Sudan, there was another basically general who had his own army, and he had been building it up for over 20 years. He was initially a warlord who got promoted to be a general. And he said, why not me? Why you? Right? So you can't have two armies in the same country. And that ended up happening. War broke out between the Sudanese armed forces, which is the traditional armed forces of the country, and this paramilitary group, which is called the Rapid Support Forces. And they also had thousands of soldiers and incredible wealth.
What's the other one? Rapid Support? There's the other one also?
There's National Army of Sudan, basically.
National Army of Sudan.
And so they broke out fighting in the capital city. You know, usually the capital city is the last thing that you take, right? That's what you conquer last. But because the preceding government had, you know, were using this militia, they were using this paramilitary group, they had actually given them bases in the capital city for them to operate. And so you have the capital city with two factions armed to the teeth. And so war broke out on April 15th, 2023 in Ramadan in Khartoum, causing chaos. And of course, it's the capital city. It's got 6 million people living there. Sudan, the entire country is only around 40 million people. And so it's definitely the biggest city in the country, and people had to fled everywhere. We have the most amount of displaced people in the world is in Sudan. Over 9 million people are displaced. And then you have further displacement outside of the country as well, another 8 million people in Egypt and surrounding countries, Kenya and Ethiopia, and wherever people could go, of course.
Are you born in Sudan?
So I lived my entire life in the U.S., but I lived in Sudan for 4 years, from fourth grade to seventh grade.
Have you been back?
The last time I was there was in 2022, 6 months before the war broke out.
Is there any end in sight? What's the situation right now?
The situation is they're fighting until one, either there's some sort of military victory that either side could have, or they come to a negotiation. You know, they come to some sort of agreement, and neither of those is in sight right now.
Neither
of them is it.
So they're pretty much fighting for control, for power.
And right now, Sudan is on the brink of famine. lots of states in Sudan, because the Rapid Support Forces, which I mean, is for all intents and purposes a very evil outfit. I mean, these guys are running roughshod over the Sudanese people. It's not considered to be a war on between two armies. It's considered to be a war on the Sudanese
on the people. The civilians.
Yeah, like, families are becoming displaced. Entire cities are becoming displaced. The health infrastructure is attacked. The farming infrastructure, the agricultural infrastructure of the country has been looted and robbed and taken out of Sudan or being sold elsewhere. So people aren't able to farm, and people are facing acute hunger. Millions of people are facing what's called acute hunger, and millions are also facing famine.
But you think, okay, this is Sudan, Muslim yeah. army, Muslim rule. What's happening? Yeah.
And that's what people are, you know, that's part of what's causing people confusion. They're like, I don't understand. Both sides are saying Allahu Akbar, and they're both killing each other. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this is power, whether they're Muslim or not. You have two people who are fighting over power, two institutions that are fighting over power, and the fate of the country is basically being squandered. The future of the country is being squandered. It's been 2 years now. Kids haven't been going to school. People are displaced all over the country and outside of it, in Chad and in Ethiopia and other places. And millions of people are going hungry, and nobody is stopping.
Who do the people want to see win over the other?
So different people want different things. But if you ask me my personal opinion, I want the army to beat the Rapid Support Forces, because they're the ones who are violating and committing all of these crimes, these war crimes. And eventually you want the people to win over the army, because you don't want, at least I don't want, Sudan to be a military dictatorship anymore. That experiment of 30 years was a huge failure, in my opinion. It caused incredible damage to Sudan. You know, the country, every year of my life that I would go back to Sudan, it would always be worse. It would never be better. And so the people revolted against that government because they'd had enough. It was too abusive, it was too corrupt, and people wanted something that was better. And so you don't overthrow the army to get another general. People overthrew the army because they wanted the people to lead.
How do you say Allahu Akbar, Allah, the Creator, is the greatest? That means that you're supposed to be living according to Islam, but what you're telling me here, you have innocent people's lives who are being taken. How does that get justified? How do you rampage a war on innocent civilians, and you claim, people are claiming we're Muslim?
Yeah, they're Muslim, yeah, and you know, they think that they're doing great work. And one of the things that Sudan's a big country, and for a very long time, much of it has been marginalized, and they don't have infrastructure, and they don't have education. There's been aspects of the country that have had war. So I'm sure you remember about Darfur. In 2003, there was a genocide that happened in Darfur. And it was the same general who's now doing what he did in Darfur to the people of Darfur. He's doing it now to the people of Sudan. He's the leader of the RSF. He was used by the president, Omar al-Bashir, as his arm in Darfur to punish the people of Darfur and to quell the rebellion there. And so 20 years later, those guys have been growing up in war that entire period. They're not going to schools, they're not being educated, they're not being taught Islam, they're not any of that, right? You've got basically ferocious fighters that are coming out from that region. Nobody's invested in them. And so a lot of times we expect like a basic level of Islamic education and etiquette and stuff like that, but if no one gave them that, then what do you expect? You're gonna expect monsters who are gonna come and do monstrous things.
Is the country pretty much divided? Is it like 50% of... It's taken by one side, this side?
Yeah, right now, yes, about that. Yeah, it's about, so it's around, you would say, I don't know if it's 50-50, but it's large
portions.
Somewhere
around there.
Yeah, it's large portions of the country. The western side is being ruled by the RSF. Up until, like, some of the central part of the country, including my part of the country, which is Jazeera, my state is occupied by the RSF, and then the northern part and eastern part of Sudan is still under the control of the traditional government, the army.
Now, the other side, are the people also supporting this other?
Yeah, the people are supporting the army because the army is still our national institution, right?
What about the other side? Are they being supported for the?
Yeah, they're being supported by their tribes. Yeah, they're being supported
by
their
tribes.
Oh, Sudan is all tribes. Sudan is a tribal society. And so there's particular tribes in Western Sudan that are, you know, supporting, or some of them at least, I don't want to generalize, but many of them are supporting the RSF. Yeah,
yeah.
The Rapid Support Forces.
What else should we know before we conclude about this?
I think what we should know is that we should know that, number one, Sudan needs, it's called the forgotten war, it needs people. And I thank you, Eddie, for bringing up this topic of Sudan. We need to talk more about it. I would encourage you as well to talk to your Sudanese friends and family. And also support, I mean, when you're talking about millions of people facing famine and acute hunger, alhamdulillah, there are still organizations that are working in Sudan, and the banking system in Sudan continues to work. It hasn't collapsed, which is great news, because we can still transfer money over there. We can still, people are still, you know, going back and forth and being able to buy and sell goods for themselves, blankets in the winter. Winter is coming. And so I would suggest a couple of organizations. One is called the Sudanese American Physician Association. I personally have vetted them and done work with them, and they do great, as well as Sadaqat, Sadaqat USA. There's also a version in Canada. Sadaqat is S-A-D-A-G-A-A-T USA, and you'll find that.
All right, JazakAllah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
My pleasure, Sheikh. JazakAllah.
All right,
thank you.
Salaam alaikum.
Sounds good.